My name is Robbie Lindis, and you are listening to the House of EdTech with Chris Nessie.
I'm Carrie Gallagher, Director of Education with Connect Safely, and I'm here to talk about Safer Internet Day. On February 7th, 2017, more than 100 countries around the world will celebrate Safer Internet Day. In the U.S., the official live event will be held at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia, hosted by Connect Safely. The event will be attended by more than 200 elementary, middle, and high school students and adults, including representatives from the world's leading technology companies, and will be streamed live to schools around the U.S. Can't make it to the event? Join the live stream. Find out how at saferinternetday.us.
Welcome to the House of EdTech podcast. I am your host, Christopher Nessie. And the House of EdTech explores how technology is changing the way teachers teach and the impact that technology is having in education. My objectives include discussing technology that is changing our classrooms and schools and sharing tools and tips that you can hear about today and use tomorrow. I talk to teachers, leaders, and creators just like you and have them share their stories. The purpose? Whether you use it or not, technology is changing the way we teach and how our students learn. And welcome back inside the House of EdTech podcast. This is episode number 79. Welcome aboard. If this is your first episode, I really appreciate you taking the time to check out the podcast. If you are a veteran listener, as always, thank you for dedicating a little bit of time to a little podcast PD in your ear with the House of EdTech. I really appreciate it. So what's going to go on in this episode? Well, we have our usual segments. We have the EdTech Thought, and we're going to talk about failing in education. We have the EdTech Recommendation, and I have a great app for your sports team, club, or group. And of course, I have another House of EdTech VIP. In the featured content in this episode, we're going to be talking about creating great presentations. So this episode has a little bit of a different feel for those of you that have been on the journey for quite some time. But this episode is going to give you some great information about presentations. But first, we have a little bit of feedback and some responses to things that have been in some previous episodes. And I have two great people who submitted via Twitter their one word for 2017. And first up, this is Catherine Sucks, one word for 2017. Catherine is on Twitter at KSUKEDUC. And her tweet said, quote, "Mine is believe. Believe I can, and we can, and I will, and we will." So Catherine's word for 2017 is believe. Another one that came in, former guest and friend of the podcast, Karina Gonzalez. She is at Karina Gonzalez on Twitter, and that's CarinaGonzalez, Karina Gonzalez. And Karina's word for 2017 is listen. And she says, quote, "I am super motivated and sometimes move too fast. Time to listen to what was and was not said." So she is going to take a little time and slow it down and make sure she's listening. So thank you to Catherine and Karina. And if you'd still like to share your one word for 2017, you can do that on Twitter. You can go to the website and click feedback. And there are a number of ways that you can get that to me. And I'll be happy to share your one word for this year right here on the podcast. Also have a little bit of feedback from episode 78. And this comes in from Craig Peters. And Craig is somebody who I know through Twitter and finally had gotten to meet in person at New York Ed Tech Week back in December of 2016. And in talking about presentations, he has a great recommendation, and it's a book called Slideology, The Art and Science of Creating Great Presentations. There'll be a link to this book by Nancy Duarte in the show notes for this episode, which you can go and get at chrisnessie.com /79. And Craig spoke very highly of this book in a message to me via email. So I wanted to make sure I included that. And it fit really nice with the theme of this episode. So thank you to you, Craig, for sending that in. And also, I want to say a quick thank you to Derek Larson. You guys have heard Derek here on the podcast before. And again, if you're new, you want to go and check out the episodes that Derek has appeared in, because he's just an all-around great guy and my good friend from Utah. And Derek sent me an awesome Justice League calendar for 2017. So Derek, thank you so much for embracing the Ed Justice League and, you know, my Superman mindset. And the calendar is great. I have to find a place on the wall here in the studio to hang it up, but I will. And I have also chosen the lucky member of the Ed Justice League who will get the second calendar you sent, and I will be giving that to Mr. AJ Bianco. And I did tell AJ that, and I saw him recently, forgot to give it to him, but I will see him again. And thank you so much, Derek. Really appreciate that. Now let's move on with the show, and let's check out the EdTech thought. All right, I am going to be blunt. We're going to talk about failure, the edufail. Here's my bluntness. There is too much positive on Twitter. It's not really so much a bad thing, but if you're a connected educator, and more than likely you listening to the podcast right now, you're probably on Twitter. If you're not, you should be. And reach out, and I will be more than happy to help you, you know, become a connected educator and point you in the right direction. But if you're not on Twitter, please don't think I'm speaking ill of Twitter. It's just that here's my issue. It's a vacuum. It is a vacuum of happiness where we're not really honest. I don't want to say the deep, dark underbelly of education, but there is a part of education that, to my knowledge, not a lot of people talk about. And that's failure. I mean, we have hashtags such as hashtag trend the positive, hashtag celebrate Monday. And anytime you go into a chat, all the questions, all the topics, they're all happy, hunky dory. Let's pat ourselves on the back. And not for nothing, I'm tired of it. I mean, I'm not saying I want to spout out a lot of negativity, but I think there is something to be said for things that are not necessarily the greatest that happen in our classrooms. So I will say that success is powerful and sharing is just as powerful. I recently had a conversation with a colleague about an instructional strategy that wasn't successful for this teacher. The teacher purchased a book that talked about this topic, and this book and the topic, really the book has been publicized as, you know, the resource on the topic. But this text and others like this lack one thing. These books that you see out there, they don't tell you what to do when the strategy doesn't work. So now here's actually a thought inside of the EdTech thought. I actually have an issue with the number of education books being published by quote-unquote experts. And while they might be knowledgeable and have done some great things in the classroom, they're not the be-all, end-all authority on a topic. Though they claim otherwise, and you know, they point you to their book and, you know, buy my book. And a lot of us buy into that. I think this can be misleading. I think this can lead to a lot of frustration for people who buy the book and they buy in and, you know, they don't find immediate success, or, you know, they can't live up to the vignettes, you know, of the great stories and everything that's positive. And, you know, here's why this is the great strategy. And here's what's going to, you know, save your classroom. And, you know, try this. It's wonderful. The next part of this is the fact that we, in talking positively, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, failing. And when we say failing is the first attempt in learning, we're always saying, you know, this is good for students. Well, guess what? I'm going to be 36 years old and I have failed a lot. I have failed since I've been a student. Our plans as teachers fail. Not every lesson plan is a golden distinguished lesson plan or highly effective. Let's consider our failures as an untapped resource for learning. I'm encouraging you to put yourself out there. Share some tweets, compose a blog post, and share a story about something that didn't work. Write a blog post. Post a video on your YouTube channel. Again, we encourage our students to be okay with failing and learning and moving forward. It's okay not to be successful right away, but you'll get it. We're going to come back to it. Who's going to model this for the students? So here's my challenge. Share your failures. You will learn from your missteps, of course, and others could come forward and help you with ideas, and you will certainly learn and be able to move and fail forward. Let's build some community around our failure. So if you're going to share your failure, I'd like you to use the hashtag edufail. So hashtag #, edufail. And I want to know what you haven't been successful at. I'm going to start to share mine. And I look forward to learning from you. And when you see that I have failed, please reach out to me and let me know how you can help me. Because that's going to help me be a better teacher. And that's my EdTech thought. And now it's time for this episode's EdTech recommendation. And for this episode, I would like to recommend TeamSnap. Since it was formed in 2009, TeamSnap has been passionately dedicated to taking the hassle out of managing, coaching, or organizing team sports and groups. While they have continued to grow, innovate, and add new features based on feedback from millions of loyal customers, their mission remains the same: build a great product that any parent, coach, team manager, group organizer can pick up and use immediately. TeamSnap believes in the power of community, athletics, and teamwork, and they want every one of their customers to spend less time organizing and more time doing. So check out TeamSnap. They can be found at teamsnap.com. And here is a quick 51-second promo from TeamSnap.
There are two ways to manage a team. Coach Derek uses a clipboard, the old-fashioned way. And Coach Bob uses his smartphone and the TeamSnap app. It's faster, way faster. When the practice location changes at the last minute, Coach Bob touches one button to notify the entire team by email or text. Coach Derek needs a team. The night before the game, Coach Bob confirms that he has enough players. At game time, Coach Derek discovers he doesn't have a goalie. And while Coach Bob's bank account is happy because he can collect the team fees online, Coach Derek spends hours searching through notes to track down who hasn't paid. TeamSnap puts your team on the field, on the web, and on your phone. Whatever your game, whatever your group, TeamSnap makes it easy. Sign up and try it for free today.
So we're at the point of the episode where, hey, it's time for featured content. So here's the big picture for this episode. Let's get you to create great presentations. So I have a couple of things to consider. Actually, I have 7 things to consider, and I have 3 recommendations on how you can accomplish them. So here's what we're going to talk about today. In order to create a great presentation, I'm recommending the following ideas. Number 1, follow a plot. Number 2, create with 3 key perspectives in mind. Number 3, use exciting words and phrases. Number 4, make sure your formatting is flawless. Number 5, balance words with outstanding visuals. Next up, keep it simple. And the last, make your first slide short and sweet. So let's dive in. The first topic, following a plot. Outlining a successful presentation means relying on a plot, where you consider why, what, how, who, a climax, and finally, an epilogue. Thinking about your presentation in these basic terms will allow you to get your clear idea of how you want to structure your content and what to focus on. The why slash the what could refer to the content you're focusing on. The how refers to how participants can take action on the content. The who, that'll draw you to focus on describing the important players related to the topic. climax will explain to students what amazing things can come out of their learning, and the epilogue will give you the chance to reiterate your goals and objectives by making a final statement about the topic. And that's just the beginning. Number two, create with three perspectives in mind. When you create your presentation, you should have three perspectives in mind: the people with no knowledge, the people with some knowledge, and people who have just as much knowledge as you. And yes, when you're teaching students, they might be really passionate about a topic, even though they're your student. Creating your presentations from all angles will allow you to capture the interest of all the people you're working with. A great presentation begins with your audience in mind. Next up, use exciting words and phrases. Dry, boring language won't get your audience talking about your topic. You need to focus on utilizing exciting language and power phrases like best, latest, proven. This is going to intrigue your audience and really sell your message and sell the content you're trying to teach your students. Next up, make sure your formatting is flawless. How your presentation looks plays a huge role in the experience your audience and your students are going to have when they engage with your content. Whether you're teaching or presenting at a workshop, you might have some fantastic ideas, some great visuals, and awesome diagrams and charts. But if your presentation doesn't look up to snuff and really look like something you want to engage with, your students or that audience at that workshop, they're just going to struggle to take you seriously. Later in the episode, again, I'll be recommending some alternatives to some of the traditional presentation platforms. Next up, you want to balance words with outstanding visuals. And it actually seems kind of funny to say because you're listening to a podcast. A polished and professional presentation shouldn't look like a PowerPoint project you did in college or high school. Scattering bullet points throughout your presentation is a red flag that you're being too wordy. Visuals always make a stronger impact on your audience. Using charts, diagrams, even inserting video, this just makes it easier to communicate facts and figures in a more creative way. And I think something we're all striving to do is to be more creative and innovative in our classrooms. The next one, keep it simple. Remember, the average presentation contains between 12 and 20 slides, and the average person has the attention span of a goldfish. Thank you, social media. Using overly complex language and ideas may make you seem like a genius, but even the smartest high-profile person, they want a clear, simple idea of what they're there to learn, what the topic is, and how they can use the information you're presenting. So keep it simple. And the last point I want to make about making great presentations or improving your next appearance, make your first slide short and sweet. In our technology-driven society, information is now delivered at rapid speeds, and we expect to be able to get the scoop in a few sentences or less. With presentations, guess what? It's no different. A drawn-out initial description of your topic won't generate interest from students, and your presentation will not make an impact or provide any value. Captivate people right off the bat with a powerful opening statement that describes the purpose and the topic and what makes it valuable in just one sentence. If you try any of these strategies, let me know how it works for you. And when you try them, here are three bonus recommendations that you can consider instead of using tools like PowerPoint, even Google Slides, or even Apple Keynote. So the first recommendation is SlideBean, SlideBean. And SlideBean is an online presentation tool. It has an array of ready-made templates that allows the user, that's you, to create formatted and well-designed slides in just a few clicks. After creating a new presentation, you can input contents on each slide by going to places like the Content Lab on the top of the page. Aside from the heading and the text, you can also add images, videos, charts, tables, and code to each slide. The Design Lab in SlideBean allows you to change the style, color scheme, and font on each slide. All of the design functions are conveniently placed in the sidebar, and that's going to scroll up and down with the page as you move from slide to slide. The simple interface of SlideBean makes it easy to use without sacrificing customization, which is why it is one of the best presentation tools to use, especially on a presentation for students or for that next PD session that you're developing. And you can check out SlideBean at slidebean.com. This next recommendation for your next presentation is something you may already be familiar with, and if you're not, welcome to the show. It's called Canva, and Canva has a simple interface that even beginners can grasp, and it has a range of available templates that can be used really easy, and they're basically canvases. After you choose a design, you can build into each slide using options on the Layouts and Background tab, and what's really impressive about Canva is that it's very tightly integrated with a stock photo image bank, so you can quickly find a picture, but you can also upload your own images as well. They have a lot of great fonts, great colors, and you can really make these images and slideshows pop. And that's actually a feature you may not be aware of, is when you're creating images, you can actually add more slides or, you know, quote-unquote pages, and you can build a presentation. With Canva, the company can also create infographics, documents, cards, and a lot of social media images that you can use on Facebook and Twitter. So those are some other features that you may be more familiar with. And you can find it at canva.com, C-A-N-V-A. And the last recommendation is simply called Slides. Nice and clean. This is what Slides is all about. Beginning with the interface, the grid system of Slides makes it easier to look at each slide more clearly. It also allows you to see the flow of the presentation, which means that adjustments can be made much faster. Aside from its simple interface and fundamental functions, Slides also has a speaker view that allows you to see the following slide. So when you're presenting and you're like, oh, what's coming up next, if you haven't memorized it, this is something that you see in other presentation platforms. The Slides offers it as well. And notes can also be seen in this mode, as well as a timer, and that helps you maintain the pace of the presentation. And you can check this out simply at slides.com, and that's S-L-I-D-E-S. So to recap what you should be considering for great presentations, follow a plot, create your presentation with three key perspectives in mind, use exciting words and phrases, make sure your formatting is flawless, balance those words with outstanding images, keep the whole thing simple, and make that first slide short and sweet. And my three recommendations to maybe kick your presentations up: check out SlideBean, Canva, and Slides. And now it's time to meet this episode's House of EdTech VIP. Congratulations to Jen Judkins. Jen proudly serves Linfield Public Schools in Massachusetts as a K-12 digital learning coach. In this role, she provides in-class support to teachers by helping them design and deliver meaningful lessons that incorporate technology. Jen works directly with students to help them use digital tools effectively for learning. She taught many years as a science teacher at the middle and high school levels, and Jen knows firsthand how technology can extend learning and engage students in ways that challenge them to higher levels of thinking. She helps teachers and school administrators develop confidence and proficiency with technology, and that's something she's very passionate about. Jen is a Google certified trainer, and she was recognized recently in 2016 as a MassQ Pathfinder Award recipient, and in 2015, she was a PBS Lead Digital Innovator. She curates useful technology resources, tip sheets, and integration ideas for educators on her blog, which can be found at teachingforward.net. And you can also find Jen on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on the Tech Educator podcast. You can connect with her on Twitter. She is at teachingforward. And again, be sure to check out her website, teachingforward.net. Congratulations, Jen. You are the House of EdTech VIP. Hey, welcome to the end of episode number 79 of the House of EdTech. Huge thank you to summerpd.com for supporting this episode. You can head over to summerpd.com for some great on-your-schedule professional development. They have great courses that relate to Google, Google Classroom, assessment, you name it, they've got a course for it. And you can bundle all their courses together and save a little bit of money by using the promo code HouseOfEdTech. Keep the conversation going. If you enjoyed this episode, head over to chrisnessy.com/79, and that's going to take you to the show notes for this episode, and that's going to have all the links and information that we talked about today. I would love to connect with you and hear your thoughts on the information and resources shared in this and every episode. If you have generic feedback or you want to reach me about another episode, click share feedback on chrisnessy.com, and that's going to give you my email and all the ways that you can connect with me. The fastest is Twitter. Use the hashtag HouseOfEdTech, and that's going to help me quickly find your tweets. Now, if you enjoy the podcast, and if you've come this far, I've said it before, then you must enjoy the show. So I'd like you to do me a couple of favors before we go. Number one, tell somebody else about the podcast. Word of mouth is the best way to share a great podcast you love, whether it's this one or the others that you listen to. Number two, please consider rating and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Your positive rating and honest review help to keep the House of EdTech front and center for others to discover and enjoy. You can also show your support through Patreon. Go to chrisnessy.com/awesome, and you can support the show for as little as a dollar an episode. You don't have to, but if you want to, then you would join the ranks of Jen Giffen, Peggy George, Mark Grindel, Dan Gallagher, Jeff Herb, and Brent Warner. I love you guys. Thank you for making the show a little bit easier. The next episode of the House of EdTech is episode number 80. Very exciting. When I think about episode 80, it also makes me realize that episode 100, that's right, episode 100 is around the corner. But before we get there, let's get to February 19th, 2017. On episode 80, I'm going to be speaking with Kerry Gallagher, and we're going to be talking about open education resources. That's going to be a lot of fun. I had a great time talking with Kerry, so make sure you are subscribed and you come on back for that. Until next time, thank you for joining me, and remember, using technology isn't difficult. Just give it a try. The House of EdTech is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. The Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. For more, go to edupodcastnetwork.com. So I just wanted to throw a little something here at the end for those of you who are super dedicated listeners. A couple of extra things. One, if you haven't checked out the Google Teacher Tribe podcast, make sure you head over to googleteachertribe.com. And that's the podcast that I'm producing for Matt Miller of Ditch That Textbook. And Casey Bell of ShakeUpLearning.com. They are two fantastic people who I'm sure you are familiar with. If you're not, check out both of their individual work and be sure to check out GoogleTeacherTribe.com for the Google Teacher Tribe podcast, which I'm having a blast creating behind the scenes with them. They're phenomenal to work with, and I think you would enjoy the podcast. Number two, I'm actually co-hosting two other podcasts, if you were not aware. I am a co-host with my Ed Justice League friends on the Shift Ed podcast, and you can find that at shiftedpodcast.com. And that's a show that I do once a month live with Stacey Lindis, AJ Bianco, and Adam Schoenbart, and occasionally Danny Kennis, but she's getting ready to have a baby, which is wonderful for Danny. Not so good for the podcast, but wonderful for Danny and her family. And the newest podcast that I am co-hosting is Podcast PD the podcast for the second time. And Stacy and AJ, we're doing Podcast PD, the podcast, which you can find at podcastpd.com. And that's going to be another every 2 week release. And our first episode is out. You can find that over at podcastpd.com/1. So thank you for listening. That's all I've got. It's Super Bowl Sunday, so stop listening to me and go watch the game. I'll see you next time.